morning and welcome to the Daily with Silstein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. Welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday. There's a lot to go through today, so we're going to begin in just a moment. And I hope that you guys are doing amazing today. I am so thrilled to be bringing you new things that are coming up for the show, so I hope that you keep tuning in. Happy, happy Wednesday. Good morning. And welcome to the Daily with Silstein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. Happy, happy Wednesday. I hope you guys are having an amazing start to your day. So today I'm going to begin the show by talking about a book recommendation. So we're going to start with a book by author Louise Penny. She's the author of Still Life and How the Light Gets In, The Long Way Home. This book was given to me gifted to me by my wonderful mother-in-law, Kathy Stein, my mom. Love you, Mom. And she gave me this book while I went to the hospital last year, and she bought me this book. And Louise Penny is a great writer, very mysterious. It's called The Long Way Home. I'm going to read you a little of the back of it. Give me one moment. Okay. Let's see what it says about this book. Armand Gamish, former chief inspector of homicide with the Sûreté du Québec, has found a refuge from murder and corruption in the village of Three Pines until one of his neighbors comes to tell him that her husband has disappeared. Reluctant as he is to leave the sanctuary of Three Pines, Gamish cannot turn away his friend. Together they journey deep into Quebec and deeper into the wounds of Peter Morrow, a man so desperate he will sell his soul, and may have. The journey takes them farther and farther from Three Pines to an area so desolate, so damned. The first mariners called it the land God gave to Cain. And there they discover the terrible damage done by a sin-sick soul. This series dominates the bestseller list and award list for a reason. Penny tells powerful stories of damage and healing in the human heart, leavened with affection, humor, and thank goodness, redemption. They call it, the New York Times says splendid, and NPR's Weekend Edition says magical. So Louise Penny is... Let me see here. They always have, and they have several books. Still Life, A Fatal Grace, The Cruelest Month, A Rule Against Murder, The Brutal Telling, Bury Your Dead, A Trick of the Light, The Beautiful Mystery, How the Light Gets In, and The Long Way Home, which is the one I've read. Let's see here. And I think she's coming out with another one, The Nature of the Beast. But let me find her author bio. I'm sure it has one. Here we go. Okay. Louise Penny is the number one New York Times and Globe and Mail, best-selling author of 10 Chief Inspector Armand Gamish novels. She has won numerous awards, including a CWA Dagger and the Agatha Award 5 times, and was a finalist for the Edgar Award for Best Novel. She lives in a small village south of Montreal. Visit Louise on Facebook or at www.louisepenny.com. So make sure you check out her books, and she writes about this. One of her characters is the famous Armand Gamish. I hope I didn't say it wrong. So my apologies. But I hope you'll check out The Long Way Home. And that's my book recommendation for today. And we're going to move on to the writing tip section of The Daily with Silstein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. And we'll be right back. I hope you're enjoying your coffee. Welcome back to The Daily with Silstein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. So I'm going to focus on the book by author Amy Peters, The Writer's Devotional, 365 Inspirational Exercises, Ideas, Tips, and Motivations on Writing. I mentioned this book to you guys before, where we hone your writing skills. So that's where we're moving on to now. And I'm going to start with week 50. Sorry. Let me see here. So I'm going to read you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday for today. And here we go. Tuesday motivation. I'm very proud of my flops as much as of my successes. This is a quote by Francis Ford Coppola. And you know Francis Ford Coppola is, right? Hope you do. But you'll get some clues now if you don't. Or you'll get to know who it is now. Director Francis Ford Coppola was riding high on the success of his blockbuster movies, The Godfather, The Godfather 2, and Apocalypse Now, when he decided to change courses and direct something more lighthearted. In 1982, he chose One from the Heart, a musical romance set in fantastical Las Vegas. Unfortunately, the story was overwhelmed by complicated sets, odd lighting, strange special effects, and questionable production values. Not only did Coppola take a hit from the audience and critics, but his wallet took a beating. He had invested $12 million of his own money to create the movie. He was not deterred. He learned from his mistakes and moved on to direct scores of successful movies, including the wildly successful The Godfather 3. Everyone has failures. The key is to learn from mistakes and to incorporate this knowledge into life's further adventures. As Coppola's fellow movie director, Woody Allen, no stranger to a few flops of his own, put it, "If you're not failing every now and again, it's a sign you're not doing anything very innovative." So it doesn't matter if you have the failures. The key is to, what are you going to do after that? Without failure, I don't think you'll learn about successes. In my opinion, you have to have failures in order to have success. But that's just, you know, my belief. And it's very inspirational to hear, because Francis Ford Coppola has, had a string of successes. But it's nice to know that he's also had his share of flops, that, or especially the one mentioned, One from the Heart. So it's good to know that, you know, that you can't always have successes, but you learn from that and you become better. So I'm moving on to Wednesday writing class. And you don't have to do this. This is just kind of an exercise that it gives. Make a children's picture book. A children's picture book is like a short story in that you have very limited number of words to convey an entire idea or sequence of events. The typical children's book is 32 pages, roughly 1,200 words for fiction, and 48 pages for nonfiction. No more than 2,000 words for younger readers. The fictional version must follow the same story arc as any good work. It must introduce characters, set the scene, and show both a conflict and its resolution. You can make your picture book appropriate for any age group. The best children's books have a universal appeal, making them equally readable for adults as well as children. Don't worry about the artwork at this point. A good story is all you need to craft. For now, I write fiction books, and I focus more on the, new adult or contemporary fiction, as well as my thrillers. But maybe one day I'll work on a picture book about Buddy, our dog, because there's so many things to tell about Buddy. I'm not a good artist, but when it comes to telling a story, it's kind of like the Marley and Me. Of course, I can't compare it to, that story, because he had such profound things. But our dog, in the little time we've had him so far, he adds so much light to our lives, and he's just a funny dog. So I can picture, trying to make adventures about Buddy, our dog. So you never know. Or maybe my daughter or one of my sons, or you know, or both of my sons will write a story about him, right? We'll see. Stay tuned, right? So now we're moving on to Thursday editing. And that was Wednesday writing class. A common mistake is to treat an unhappy coincidence as irony. It isn't ironic that your oven breaks on Thanksgiving morning or you run into your old boyfriend at the cafe where you used to hang out together. Mignon Fogarty, the grammar devotional. So that's the grammar devotional. So let's see what it says. Humor, sarcasm, and irony are all tools in language that are really hard to deliver well when you're speaking, let alone writing. So when you're reviewing your work, make sure that you use these tools correctly. Otherwise, your attempts will not be successful. Sarcasm is defined as expressing or expressive a ridicule that wounds. When you use sarcasm, you are intentionally hurting someone's feeling or poking fun at yourself. It is often employed in attacking a person a person or belief through harsh and bitter remarks that mean the opposite of what they say. For example, Cinderella's stepmother would have been a nicer person if she just got out of the house more often. Irony is different and much harder to write. Irony is the incongruity between the actual result of a sequence of events and the normal or expected result. The difference is best noted by the Sarcasm Society. One main difference between irony and sarcasm is that the irony is generally observed and sarcasm is generally created. An irony is, as Sports Illustrated supermodel Elle Macpherson's wedding, she wore a gown that converted into a bathing suit. You just can't make this stuff up. You have to find irony where it lives. And you are all on your own in defining humor. One person's joke is another's offense. Proceed with caution. So basically, you know, humor, sarcasm, and irony, as explained, you know, what sarcasm is, irony. But then humor is whatever you make of it. Some humor, it can be viewed as really funny, and some can be viewed as offensive. So it just depends how you use it, right? And that's Thursday editing, week 50. And now we're going to end with this section, and then I'm going to start on the scene book by author Sandra Schofield, A Primer for the Fiction Writer. Friday biography. Writers may be disreputable, incorrigible, early to decay or late to bloom, but they dare to go it alone. John Updike. John Updike was born in Reading, Pennsylvania. That's what it says. His grandfather was a minister, or Reading. Maybe it's supposed to be Reading, but it's... But sorry for the background noise. I really hope you didn't hear that. I have children in the house, so I'm sorry for that. His grandfather was a minister and his father was a high school science teacher. An only child, Updike and his parents shared a house with his grandparents. A voracious reader, Updike enjoyed popular fiction, especially humor and mysteries, and his mother, Linda Grace Hoyer, encouraged all of her sons' artistic aspirations. An aspiring writer herself, Updike's mother inspired the young man, and he spent summers writing copy at the local newspaper, the Reading Eagle. As valedictorian of his high school class and class president in 1950, Updike received a scholarship to attend Harvard University, where he studied English, contributed to the Harvard Lampoon, and ultimately graduated summa cum laude in 1954. That means a very high prestigious honor for those that don't know. You may know, but in case you don't. Soon after college, Updike was married to Mary Pennington, an art student from Radcliffe College, and he sold his first short story to the New Yorker magazine. A literary career looked promising. For a while, he studied art in England, and there he met E.B. and Catherine White, editors at the New Yorker, who encouraged Updike to return to New York and work at the magazine. he did and was a staff writer there. After the birth of his son, 2 years later, he decided to move to Massachusetts. He continued to contribute to the New Yorker and to write best-selling novels, articles, and short stories. So this is all about John Updike. If you don't know his work, make sure to check it out. And we'll be right back to discuss more writing tips here on the Daily with Sil Stein, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles with the Scene Book, A Primer for the Fiction Writer by Sandra Schofield. We'll be back. And now we're back to the Daily with Sil Stein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. Now we're doing part two of the writing tips with the Scene Book, A Primer for the Fiction Writer by author Sandra Schofield. Now I'm going to go into, we had done events and meaning. I'm going to read you some passages from author Fanny Flagg, because it says here, here are some writers, this is on page 38, who could serve you well because they use scenes copiously, and I think you will be able to easily find ones that you like and can block out for study. They vary in some complexity and style. You're interested in young adult fiction, ask your libraries or bookstores owners for recommendations of award-winning novels to find well-crafted models. There are many good ones, and in their relative simplicity, they are excellent studies. If it helps, it helps if you underline the actions in your selected scenes. So let's look at the work by author Fanny Flagg. It gives you a list of authors, but I've always loved Fanny Flagg, Fried Green Tomatoes, different types of books that she's written. She's very good with scenes, especially. As, I mean, the movie was great, but the books are so descriptive, and you see so much of what Sandra Schofield's trying to convey in her book. If you have not checked out the rest of what I've spoken about with the Scene Book, make sure to check out the podcast and also check out her book, as well as The Writer's Devotional by author Amy Peters. If you're a writer that struggles like with writer's block or you just want to maybe get motivated, these books are very highly recommended. Let's see here. Fanny Flagg is an American actress, comedian, and author. She is best known as the semi-regular panelist on the 1973-1982 versions of the game show Match Game for the 1987 novel Fried Green Tomatoes at the Whistle Stop Cafe. But she has many, many books. So let's look at some of her books. See if I can read one. Let's see. Okay, I'm going to read you from Fried Green Tomatoes, which is one of her famous books. Give me a moment here. This is Fried Green Tomatoes at the Whistle Stop Cafe. Oh gosh, let me see. Thought I had opened that up. Give me a moment here. I'm trying to try to scroll down a little bit. Okay, I'm going to read you a little part here. Whistle Stop Alabama's Weekly Bulletin, June 12, 1929. Cafe opens. The Whistle Stop Cafe opened up last week, right next door to me at the post office, and owners Edgy Thurgood and Ruth Jameson said business had been good ever since. Edgy says that for people who know her not to worry about getting poisoned, she is not cooking. All the cooking is being done by two colored women, Sipsy and Onzel, and the barbecue is being cooked by Big George, who is Onzel's husband. If there is anybody that has not been there yet, Edgy says that the breakfast hours are from 5:30 to 7:30, and you can eat eggs, grits, biscuits, bacon, sausage, ham, and red-eye gravy and coffee for 25 cents. For lunch and supper, you can have fried chicken, pork chops and gravy, catfish, chicken and dumplings, or a barbecue plate. Your choice of three vegetables, biscuits or cornbread, and your drink and dessert for 35 cents. She said the vegetables are cream corn, fried green tomatoes, fried okra, collard, or turnip greens, black-eyed peas, candied yams, butter beans, or lima beans, and pie for dessert. My other half, Wilbur and I, ate there the other night, and it was so good, he says. He might not even eat at home again. Ha! I wish that were true. I spent all my time cooking for the big lug and still can't keep him filled up. By the way, Edgy says that one of her hens laid an egg with a $10 bill in it. And it says Dot Weems. And that was taken by Dot Weems is the one who says that. And then there's another scene. Old Montgomery Highway, Birmingham, Alabama, December 15, 1985. Evelyn Couch had come to Rose Terrace with her husband Ed, who was visiting his mother, Big Mama, a recent but reluctant arrival. Evelyn had just escaped them both and had gone into the visitor's lounge in the back where she could enjoy her candy bar in peace and quiet. But the moment she sat down, the old woman beside her began to talk. Now you ask me, the year somebody got married, who they married, what the bride's mother wore, and 9 times out of 10, I can tell you. But for the life of me, I can't tell when it was I got to be so old. It just sort of slipped up on me. The first time I noticed it was June of this year, when I was in the hospital for my gallbladder, which they still have, or maybe they threw it out by now. Who knows? That heavy-set nurse had just gave me another one of those fleet enemas they're so fond of over there. When I noticed what they had on my arm, it was a white band that said Miss Cleo Thurgood, an 86-year-old woman. Imagine that. So there's a few scenes from Fanny Flagg. I don't know if you can see like a lot of what's going on and the interactions with the characters there. I hope you can, but those are a few excerpts of what Sandra Schofield was trying to talk about in her book, The Scene Book. And she does say here, award-winning novels to find well-crafted models. Like, you can find a model with these books. Keep a running list of ideas for occasions that can lead to scene events. Don't worry about the whole story at this point. The idea is to practice conceiving a unit of narrative that has enough action and meaning to suggest a strong scene. You're looking for moments when things are off kilter in some way. Look for situations when a character is under stress. What might happen next? And Fanny Flagg has a few of those you might want to read. There's many other authors, but if you want to check those out, and that is what I wanted to discuss from the Scene Book, A Primer for the Fiction Writer by author Sandra Schofield. So I hope that you're able to look, because we were talking about the basics, the beats, and the different things that can create a scene in one's mind. And I remember reading you a little bit of, I think it was Chasing Clarity, my book that I wrote in 2015. I was talking about that and how it came about. And I really hope that you check out the Scene Book, Primer for the Fiction Writer by Sandra Scofield, and also the Writer's Devotional 365 Inspirational Exercises, Ideas, Tips, and Motivations on Writing. And those were my writing tips for today. And we'll be right back, and I'm going to discuss for the wrap-up the news, and I'm going to do my author news, new things that are coming to the podcast, and let's see what happens. We'll be right back with the Daily with Silstein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. We'll be right back. Happy Wednesday. We're back to the Daily with Silstein, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles here through Anchor FM. And now I'm going to talk about my author journey. Well, first and foremost, as I said, I've been trying to get closure updated and placed on Ingram Spark. I'm crossing my fingers that I finally uploaded the book correctly using their template. And I'm crossing my fingers that it will be uploaded. Once I know and have that information, I will notify you guys and or place it on Instagram, my author page, or through social media. I will let you know, but it's mostly Instagram, Facebook, and my author page, and throughout my podcast that I will let you know. So hopefully, and so I'm excited about that. I am going to be revising it, Chasing Clarity and The Diary of the Broken Father, and also upload them to Ingram Spark. Now that I've learned how to hopefully do it right, and then they'll be available. So I'm working on that as well. And then if you haven't checked out my books, please do. They're available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, New Press, Google Play. But now I'm trying to make them into brick and mortar stores where they're not just print on demand. So hopefully they'll be available to you all very soon. And also, I'm still working on Battered Mind. I'm hoping to have the book published by next year. But I also have some other ideas for books that I'm working on. Once I have something concrete, I will tell you more about that. So I'm excited. And there will be a newsletter for the Daily with Silstein. I'm hoping by September we'll have a newsletter. And there's also going to be another co-host where I'm going to do entertainment news and segments a couple of days a week. We don't know if it's going to be 2 or 3 days yet, depending on her schedule. And we're going to talk all about Broadway, new shows, TV, you know, streaming, things that are streaming, movies, recommendations, stuff like that. So, and I'm so excited to have her. Once we have more details, I'll alert you into more things. But if you want to check out some of the of what I've said about it, check me out on the Daily with Silstein channel on Instagram. That's at the Daily with Sil, S-Y-L, Stein, S-T-I-N. And like I said, there's many things going on. This is the wrap-up now. And I just wanted to say thank you for the support of the podcast. Thank you for listening. I hope you'll do more sharing of the podcast. I hope you'll listen through the episodes. And I'm available through Anchor FM, and there's other platforms. Please check them out. And I hope you've enjoyed this segment of the Daily with Silstein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. And again, the book recommendation for this week was The Long Way Home by Louise Penny. So I hope you'll check out all the books. Thank you for joining me, and I hope to have more authors and interviews and more people to interview hopefully soon. And I look forward to more authors coming to the show. I hope to schedule them. And thank you so much again for supporting the podcast. I want to send a big shout out to my PA, Samantha Socorso, and Tara James, and all my family, friends, loved ones. You know who you are. God bless. I hope you all are having a blessed day and happy Wednesday. Be kind. Spread kindness. There's so much going on in the world. You need to be a good human. So sending love and spread love even to those that make it hard. Instead of acting like them, act better than them. So I hope you all have a blessed day, and thank you for joining me on the Daily with Sil Stein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. Have an amazing and happy and blessed Wednesday. Thank you all.